Now, I also need to tell you that after everything was done on Sunday, a lady from the congregation came to me. Okay? Now, for the record, okay, I call her Mom. You all know her better as Florence Willis. You know, little Florence. Okay? And I've learned over the years that when Florence has something to say, number one, she's going to say it. I'm going to say this when she's here next service, too. Watch out. I'll get told. Okay. When Florence has something to say, she's going to say it. And if it's to you she has to say it, you are going to hear it. Okay? And she has this attitude when she comes at you. And you start saying, oh, no, what did I do now? It's a mom approach. I mean, it is like your mother coming to get you. Okay? Florence came up to me in the lobby, and she said, you forgot to tell them something today. Okay. Now, it's like, okay, there's probably a whole lot of things that I didn't bother to mention today, Florence, but I'm sure I'm going to hear about the one that's on your mind. She said, you forgot to tell them. And I think it relates more to my Sunday morning service than it did to the funeral service. She says, you forgot to tell them that God answers prayer in three ways. So today, because I was told last Sunday, and because I am absolutely sure that the Holy Spirit made me forget it because it fits today's text better, I want you to know, okay, that Florence is right. God answers prayer in three ways. Sometimes God says yes, and we are all happy when God says yes. And sometimes God says no. And frequently, when God says no, we are at least initially unhappy. However, at some point, if we watch, we will come to the point where we understand the no, and we will be happy. And sometimes God simply says, wait. Now, it is that answer. The third one, which is the subject of the passage of Scripture just read in your hearing today. What do we do when we pray to God and He says, wait? You love that, don't you? You all do. I mean, it's really great. The best answer of the three. We're all just yearning for the waits. No. The answer to the question actually comes from Jesus, which is really good. Okay, answers that come from Jesus should be paid particular attention to. He told his disciples a story, a parable. Now, I always love Jesus' stories because they're often like those O. Henry things. Okay, when you get to the end, there's a statement there and you go, what does that mean? Okay, so you got to hang with me for just a little bit. We'll get to the what does that mean. But Jesus designed the story to teach his disciples the answer to the question, what do we do when God says, wait? Now, in Jesus' story, there was an unjust judge. It is important to see the adjective modifying the word judge. He's unjust. Literally, Jesus says the guy does not fear God. He does not fear men. He didn't care about being just. Now, it's bad when you get an unjust judge. Okay? Nobody wants an unjust judge. This guy is purely motivated by self-interest. He does things the way he does them because that's the way he wants to do them and because he believes that by doing things that way, it will prosper him the most. If your case ended up in this guy's courtroom, you are in trouble. Good luck. He's going to do what he wants to do regardless. And then there was a widow. Mom is a widow. And in this case, the widow had been damaged in some way by someone. Now, the details of how she was hurt and who hurt her are unimportant to the answer to the question, so they kind of like are not told to us. They have nothing to do with the point of the story. But what is important to the point of the story is that she had been wronged, and that she deserved justice, and her case ended up in guess whose courtroom? Mm-hmm. Now, she kept coming to him for justice. Over and over, she came to this unjust judge looking for justice. She actually begged the judge for justice. But the unjust judge just simply kept putting her off. I think it means he kept pushing her case to the end of the list of things to be done. Wasn't important enough for him to care about it. He just ignored the widow's plea. But I think her name may have been Florence. Mm-hmm. She would not give up. She kept persistently imploring the unjust judge to hear her case and to give her justice until at last, for no reason than to be free of her, he ruled the way she wanted him to rule. Not because it was right to do so, but because of her consistent persistence. He said, I'll just give her what she wants, because if I don't, she will wear me out. Now, Jesus was very quick to point out to his disciples that God is not an unjust judge. Note that, please. Okay? God is quick to bring justice to his children and does not put us off senselessly. You got it? However, there are times when it is not in our best interest to do whatever it is that we want to do now, so God says, wait. Sometimes it may seem to us that he has put us off senselessly. When all he is telling us to do is wait. But wait is hardly ever easy and is never what we want to hear, is it? Sometimes, honestly, we would prefer that God simply said no to wait. When God says wait, what do we do? You ready? We remember the widow in Jesus' story. And we cry out to God night and day. I just want you to understand, Jesus gives us permission to do that because he knows that no matter how hard or how long we cry out to God, we will not wear him out. You can't. He will not be put out by your consistent perseverance and supplication. If the thing is driving you utterly crazy, and you're going, because you can't wait, just let it go. Cry out to God. Bring it to him over and over and over and over. Be like the widow in Jesus' story. Persistent in bringing your appeal to the Father. But the story doesn't end there. There is that little difficult line at the end. Did you notice? Jesus asked the disciples, but when I come, will I find faith on earth? In another place, Jesus says, knock and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall find. See, the permission to be persistent in nagging God with our request is not in order to move God. You ready for this? He is not going to give you what will hurt you, even if you ask for it a billion times. And if God knows it's not good for you, you can't convince him to change his mind no matter what you do. He will not ever be persuaded to give you what is not right for you at any time until at last the moment is right for you to receive it. You can't alter God by your persistence. But you can help yourself. Okay? When you're acting like a little kid and you're driven by the inability to handle it into weight, just bring it to God. He said you could. The permission is not because you're going to change him. It's because of who you are. And understand what will happen if God, the just one, the giver of all gifts, says to you, wait, over and over and over again, even after you beg him to give it to you over and over and over again. What if he says, wait to you for 100 years. Will you still be faithful? Will you still resolve that in spite of the wait, you're going to trust him? And or will you turn away from God, believing him to be an unjust judge? See, the answers to your prayers will not always be yes. And there will be times when God says no. And in honesty, there are times when God says no and we think our prayers have not been heard because we don't like the no. But there will also be times when God simply says, wait. That sometimes feels like a no. It is always the hardest one, the hardest answer to receive. But that's how he answers prayer. Yes, no, and wait. It's easy to remain faithful and to trust God when the answer is yes. It's harder when the answer is no. But it's even worse when all he says is wait. Now, good friends, when God says yes, our response to him should always be, what did your mother tell you to say? That was 2 sermons ago. Yeah. Thank you. And when God says no, our answer to him should always be, thank you. Yes. But when God says, wait, we should continue to pray and to wait faithfully, trusting God.